Good morning to you all, and welcome to our online service today. As we start, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now as a church of your people. Though we cannot meet together physically, we thank you that you are with each one of us by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will bless us in our individual situations. Thank you that you have promised that you will never leave us, and during this time of being isolated, you will be especially close to each one of us. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday in the church's calendar, the start of the last week in the life of the Lord Jesus. And our reading today reflects that and is taken from John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Expectations for the future are always a part of our human life and experience. We make plans and expect that we will be able to see them fulfilled. Many today had expectations of holidays, visits to or from friends. Chris and I had both these expectations this year, but all has changed. The things that were planned have had to be cancelled for the time being. That can be the problem with our plans and hopes. They may not end up as we had expected. We are now at the start of what we call Holy Week, a time when we reflect more on the events surrounding the last week in Christ's life. What an eventful week it was, starting in a great parade into Jerusalem, through the rejection, the betrayal of the Lord Jesus, his death, and ending in the glorious resurrection. It has been described as the most important week in world history. The nation of Israel had always been aware of God's calling on them as a nation. They had a history beginning with the call of Abraham of being God's people. Through all the ups and downs of their history, they knew that they were God's chosen people and should experience his blessing and protection. But unfortunately, they consistently rebelled against God and his right to rule over them. And that was not going to change in this week. It is difficult to know exactly what this multitude thought about Jesus. Did they really understand that he was the Son of God and the Messiah of Israel? Or did they merely look upon him as a king who would deliver them from Roman oppression? Were they just carried away with the emotion of the hour? Doubtless some of the group were true believers, but the general impression is that most of the people had no real heart interest in the Lord. But the bigger problem for them was that they expected him to act as they expected their conquering Messiah to act, defeat the enemy and establish God's kingdom. And yet despite all these blessings from God, they ended up totally misunderstanding the mission of Christ. Sadly, many today do exactly the same. They see the Lord Jesus as an example to follow in his care for the poor, his mixing with people from all of society, an example of personal sacrifice, as many other religious leaders were. But sadly, they go no further. An example to follow, yes, but someone to submit our lives to, no. And this is within the church too. Paul was distraught because of the Israelites' rejection of God and the Lord Jesus. In Romans 9 verse 3, he expresses this in an impassioned outpouring of concern for his people. For I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. And this from one who set out himself to persecute Christians. He knew this from being on both sides of the divide, being a persecutor of Christians, and then meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus and becoming a committed follower. And so Jesus rode down from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem on a donkey, not a war horse, as a conquering king would have done. Something must have sparked the gathering crowds into action. They were looking for the warrior king to rescue them, as they would have read about and known from the Old Testament, as recorded by Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on an ass, a colt, the foal of an ass. And we find that in Zechariah 9, verse 9. Those waving their palm branches were rightly seeing triumph in Jesus, but they don't understand it. Their expectations were limited to their own narrow perspective, freedom from Roman rule. Hosanna means save now, and that was their expectation and immediate concern. They were looking at this incident in a narrow, nationalistic way. But God was looking to provide a salvation that would reach to the whole world. Jesus had come not to conquer Rome, but the world. He comes into the holy city not to deal death to the Romans, nor to sidestep death, but to meet death head on. He will conquer the world and death itself by dying. Just after his triumphal entry, according to John, Jesus makes it clear how he will win. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. His being lifted up to glory is at once his being lifted up on the cross to die for the sins of the world. The disciples and the great crowds that gathered had great expectations. They were looking for a king who would free them from the yoke of bondage to the rule of Rome, but had no idea how that would be achieved. They were looking for a conquering king to free them from the yoke of Roman oppression, not one who could free them from themselves and their sin. Jesus spent most of the week teaching in the temple courts and spending time with his disciples, teaching them privately. But at the end of that week, it looked like all the nation's hopes and dreams had been shattered. All their expectations appeared to just disappear in a few hours. Instead of defeating the Roman occupiers, Jesus is arrested and condemned to death by them. What a turnaround in only a few days. Their great expectations were left in tatters. The Jews were looking for a national saviour, but Jesus came as a world saviour. The Jews looked inward, looking only for their own salvation. Jesus looked outward to the whole world. He came to provide salvation for all who would put their faith and trust in him. The only way to provide this salvation was to die, to take away the sins of the world, to pay the price that we could never pay. Only those who repent, turn away from their sins, and look only to the Lord for help can experience this great salvation. He is the only one who can give us salvation and peace with God. I pray that we may all know that peace that only faith and trust in the Lord Jesus can bring. I don't know what expectations you have in life, but we need to make sure that our expectations are in line with what God wants for us. Knowing God and trusting in Jesus is not just a bolt-on to our lives, an app that we can turn on or off as suits us. It is to be always what controls our lives and our actions. Easy to say, but not easy to do. We naturally prefer to be in charge of our lives and situation. But that is not what God wants from us. He wants to be in control of us and our lives. At the moment that this valuable lesson for us to learn, we are severely restricted in what we can do. We too can have false hopes and expectations of the Lord. It is easy for us to pray, expecting God to always respond to our prayers according to what we may want, and not according to what is best for us. We do need to know God as sovereign in our lives, and to trust him when all seems to be falling about around us. We do not know the road ahead, but God has already been there. And he walks alongside us as we travel down our individual roads, roads that all lead to glory in the presence of our great God. We are living through a time that is unprecedented to all of us, and during this time, however long it lasts, let us keep our eyes firmly fixed upon the Lord. Our great expectation is the return of the Lord Jesus, to establish his throne and his rule over this earth, to right all wrongs, and to bring about universal peace. Only he can do this. Only he has the power and the authority given to him by his Father to achieve what we cannot. But until then, we have still to live our lives on this planet with all its problems and difficulties. Whatever we may have to face in the coming months, we must look beyond our present circumstances and look to the final outworking of our faith, either going to be with the Lord if we die, or being gloriously translated to heaven at his return. Whatever may be in store for us as individuals, we must firmly keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We need to remember that he loves and cares for us, despite what may happen in the future in our lives and families. This is his promise to us, and we need to hold on to it in the coming weeks and months. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for your wonderful love and mercy that you displayed in sending the Lord Jesus to die for our sin and failure. Help us each day to live for you and know your peace and present with us in whatever we will have to face in the future. Thank you for the security we have in knowing you and being your people. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. We will close with a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.